This morning, I want to share with you a message entitled, Keep God First. And our scripture verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. Here it is. We exhorted each of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Okay? Now, again, we exhorted each of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Now, this isn't a Valentine's message, but in a way it could be, you know, because God, we're to love God. We're to keep God first. And let me tell you, if you want to get a good, strong understanding of having a sweetheart, loving a sweetheart, loving your wife, loving your husband, it all begins with loving God. I'm going to tell you, that's the best complete love, is the loving God. So all this works together with keeping God first, all right? So then, here's the next part. This is the question, because we just read here, all right, charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God. So then, are you living that way? Are you living in a way that proves you belong to God? Now, that's a good question. Somebody comes to you and asks you, who do you belong to? I could say, well, I belong to Debbie, all right? In a sense, I do. We're husband and wife. We belong to each other. But who do you belong to first? That's right. You belong to Jesus. You know why? Because he bought you. With what? What did he buy you with? Now, is that a weird thing to think that he bought me with his blood, but he bought you, he redeemed you with his blood. So we're not on our own. Paul says you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with the blood of the Lamb. So are you living in a way that proves you belong to God? That's a good question, all right? Now, why keep God first? This is our question that we're asking because it's very important. Now, we're talking about this, and let me tell you why. God got a hold of me Tuesday morning. Have you ever had a time when the Lord just gets a hold of you and he convicts your heart and you realize, all right, God, you got my attention. What are you telling me? Have you ever had a moment like that? I have, and I love those moments. You know why? Because I want to hear more from God. How many of y'all want to hear God speak to you? He speaks to you through preachers, okay? He speaks to you through his Bible, but sometimes you can be by yourself. You're driving your car, you're at work or whatever, and all of a sudden, he's speaking to you. Have you experienced that? I have, and not necessarily an audible voice, but he's starting to put something inside of you and let you know, this is the way it should be, or this is what I want you to do. How many of y'all had that experience where he doesn't say, Rolando, roll on, you know, in an audible voice, that you're hearing an audible voice, you know, Fernando or Sarah or Destiny. No, but he speaks to us in that still small voice. It's real. All right. So this last Tuesday morning, I had that kind of experience in my office right up here. And I was at my desk and I was just praying, spending the time with the Lord. You know, we have our early morning prayer meeting, but then during the day and grabbing my Bible, getting ready to study and just at my desk. And I tell you what just continues to baffle me is the way that the Lord has been blessing our church in a tremendous way, because you see how many folks are here right now and you know, maybe there's 50, 55 people here this morning and we're here, we're worshiping the Lord, loving God. And it's an amazing thing that a couple of weeks ago that I shared with you where we are with our finances, you know, available cash on hand, $22,000 in the black. And then you begin to think, well, what could we do? The church needs fixing, the foundation. We need to paint the church. We need to take care of the structure. And we start thinking, and we need to do this and that and all this. And then, man, the Lord got a hold of me. He convicted me. You know what he said? Keep me first. Keep me first. Now, I'll tell you this. For quite some time, you know, we've been working at keeping him first, at what we receive in tithes and offerings. Right now, it's been up to 6%, right? 6%. 6% that we take off the top of what we receive in, okay? Because it's been month to month. It's been week to week. It's been difficult. You know what I'm saying? And there have been times where we've been in the red. We check back to the very back. When was the last time we were in the red? I found it back in July. And that was for a week. And then we got back in the black. And then since that month in July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, we've been in the black. And it's continued to increase. And it's been 22,000, you know. As of Friday, it was 19,000. You know, because you have to pay different things and all these things that go forth. And we just got our bill for the electric bill. Thank God it went down, Candy. Thank the Lord it went down, because last month it was 900 and something. Candy fixed it, and this month it was 600 and something. And so, you know, we have to pay that. 600, even 600 and something, you know, the electric company's not going to wait. And so God convicted my heart right where I was and keep me first. And so then I repented, and I asked God, okay, Lord, forgive me, because we haven't been at the 10%. See, our heart's desire is that even from what comes in, we teach tithing, we teach giving, and even what comes in through the tithes and offerings, that we'll take the 10% off the top and put it out there for missions, for outreaches, for giving, all those things, you know, and reaching out. We haven't been able to. It's been hard. We hadn't been able to. And so God just convicted my heart, and I said, I'm sorry, God. Please forgive me. And he wouldn't let me go with it. Now, you know it's the Lord when he doesn't let you go. And it just stays right there, and it didn't let me go. So, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, God. And Lord, we change this right now. So Thursday morning, I got here after our offering. I got here, and I told Sandra, let's go ahead and put in the formula for that cash flow. There has to be a formula in there. That whatever comes in, off the very top, we're going to set a figure where it's 10%. And at the very top of that 10% is Israel. At the very top of that 10% is, you know, to put money towards ministries that focus on Israel. Yeah. So then, and so she fixed that, and so now we're starting. Already Wednesday, 10%. Isn't that right, Sandra? 10%. You know? And then Sandra showed me this morning, even before the service started, she showed me two checks that came in the mail. One for $1,000 and one for over $1,700 in the mail for the church. And I thought, wow, God, I don't know what you're doing, Lord, but I repent. I'm sorry, God, and we're putting you first, all right? And so because I really did, wow, $22,000, okay, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And here comes the God saying, what about me? Well, you know, and he didn't say it like that. He didn't say, what about me? He didn't say it like that. But he convicted my heart, okay? So what I'm saying to you this morning as a church, all of us together as a congregation, I'm saying we repent together. I'm sorry, God. And we turn from that because you know how it is. Can I say tithing and faith goes together? Tithing and faith goes together. And I'm going to share with you why in just a moment. But I shared this with the group that was here Wednesday. And then I asked him if he could come and share with you what God has been doing with him. And to tie that in with tithing. Because there have been some people here that have been approaching me, and they say, you know that man that came and preached 2 weeks ago? That man, he came and preached, and then he started praying words over people. The latest one I got was yesterday. Maybe it was yesterday. Yeah, the latest one I got was yesterday when Debbie came home and she told me from the ladies' lunch. She said one of our ladies came and she said that God spoke to her and her husband and says, walk right in. Isn't that right? Walk right in. And she said she'd been looking for a job and she had a choice of three different ones and one that she was really wanting. And when she got there, it was like the Lord was saying, walk right in. And so she walked right in and she got her job. Immediately, she got her job. You know, and she said, I remember that. And then Walter was sharing. So I'm going to ask Walter and Kristen. I didn't know if you came prepared that you wanted to come up with him as well, but Walter to come up. And I want to tell you, I'm just going to leave it at that because I'm going to let Walter come up here and share. And amen, Walter. Now let's flip that on. See if it's.
Hello, my friends. Just a little praise report. We were talking about on Wednesday. When Eldred came about was like 2 weeks ago. He came with a powerful message. He came with the message of blessings, favor. It was very powerful. God was moving in here. And if y'all weren't here, y'all missed out. It just, God moves in mysterious ways. We don't understand why certain things, especially with finances. When it comes to finances, it's a taboo. Area. People get real icky, especially in church. Little background on me. I grew up in this church. I was, I think, about 8, 9, 10 years old.
20 years ago.
Yeah, 20. Yeah. Well, I'm 30 now, so that's 20. Yeah, I was 10 years old. So we started out in a very humble beginning, meeting in that gym at the high school or middle school, whatever. So I grew up in this. So it's a lot easier for me to tithe because I had an example. My father, my family always tithe. After he died, I entered the world. I became a heathen. I was terrorizing the streets. And but one thing I never forgot is put God first in my money. Because I knew even though I wasn't living right, I knew if I trusted God, if I gave him my money, I would always have a roof over my head. I always had a job. There's always food. You can see I have plenty of food in me. So I would, go out with my friends, and 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, I would come to church, put a little envelope with my money, because that was God's money. And so that's how I lived my life until I came back. And then, it's just very, very important to me to put my money with God. I always trust him in everything that I do, especially my money, because everyone likes money. I like to spend money. Ask my wife. I spend money, and I figured, well, if I get right with God, everything will start falling into plan. But there's a struggle there, and me and my wife, we have pretty decent jobs, but sometimes it's just like you get frustrated because money's not piling up. You think like, I'm going to receive all these blessings, blah, blah, blah. So 2 weeks ago, Eldred came in here, and he just said, if you want a financial blessing or favor, come up and I'll pray for you. So he came up, and he prayed, and he told me, God wants you to know to keep your head up and be confident. So that Monday, I work in sales. So sales, it's a hit or miss. And ever since that day, I've been hitting sales every day. I'm top. I mean, I'm number one this month. So clearly God was sending a message out there that how important it is to tithe and put him first. And, Pastor Dan is one of those people that I know when he gets the money, he's not going to go and buy him a Rolex or an Armani suit. He's not going to buy a Mercedes-Benz. This man, I've known this man my entire life. I've seen him drive. I used to have his Hoopteville, his 72 Cadillac. Was it a Sedan DeVille, right?
Yeah.
Busted up car. I seen him. This man, and he's a tall guy, in a 91 Honda Civic, 4-door Civic. That's a small car. So I know this man is not wasting our money. I know for a fact, without a doubt, that when I put my money in his hands, he's using it for God's work. He's putting a roof over our head, and then he's using it out there in the streets. He's using it in ministries. There's not a doubt in my mind. There's a lot of churches you can go to, and you kind of doubt the pastor. But I don't doubt this pastor. I know he's a true man of God. And I challenge people here because I know he told me, 20% of the people here tithe. A lot of people want to be fed. Let me get my blessings. But you got to put in work too, and it comes down to having faith. And that's the most important thing. When you tithe, it's all about faith. Okay, God, I'm going to take this money because I only got $40 left in the bank, and I'm going to give it to you because I know you're going to provide. And I can guarantee you all those years when I was out in the streets, I always had a job. I always had a roof over my head. I always had food. My car never broke down. Yeah, my car's not brand new, but it never left me because God was always there. And, one of the most important things that I've seen that's most powerful to me is the Malachi. A lot of people read Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. But I think the most powerful message to me that gets my attention is Malachi verse 8 through 9. It says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions, You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. So that's basically God calling you out, saying you robbing him. I don't like thieves, period. And if God is making that clear that you are robbing him, that's kind of scary to me. He's calling you out. But if you read down there, go down to the next verse. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. So it goes hand in hand. There's a curse, but yet there is a blessing. And like Pastor Dan told me, and I, you know, this is the only part in the Bible that says test me. I mean, because I don't want to test God because I'm puny compared to him. But friends, I challenge all of you with faith. If I can do it, y'all can do it. From the top, do you want a, what do you say, gross blessing or a net blessing? Just put them first, and I can guarantee you, without a doubt, you'll start noticing things change in your favor. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Walter. What I mentioned on Wednesday night, that on average in the church, in America, 20%. Now, I'm going to tell you what I read also. Even this past week, someone did a study back in 98. Out of all the church-going people, back in 98, only 1.7% tithe. Now, you think about that. Only 1.7% tithe. And has it gotten better? Has it gotten worse? I don't know. But they said that on average, that's what it is. It's an 80-20. 80-20 kind of a figure, you know. So what I wanted to challenge all of us about this morning is, why do we keep God first? Now, let me ask you this, Walter. Do you have a cap on your commission that you make?
No.
You don't have a cap?
Unlimited.
Is that right? Okay, all right. So would you like more sales?
Of course.
Okay, so like sky's the limit. Okay?
Yes.
Now, and I ask that because some places they have a cap. You can only go so far, you have a cap, you know, and that's they protect themselves that way. But if there's no cap, can you imagine? Sky's the limit. Who's in charge of that? God. God. And so now he's saying he's at the top of all his sales. And so guess what? Now God is putting him to the test. Because you know what happens when people get a lot of money in their hands? There's a test. Isn't that right? Because you start thinking, well, Lord, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this. And then God says, wait a minute. And so, okay, God, I'm sorry. And so let's talk about why. Why do we do this? Isn't it a good question? Why do we put God first? Well, why keep God first? Here's the scripture verse I want to show you. Thank you for sharing, Walter. And the interesting thing about Walter and Kristen, you know, how long have y'all been married now? How many? Almost 3 months. You know, it was one of the things they checked with each other? Kristen and Walter, and Walter, do you tithe? Do you tithe? It just kind of blew me away that they would ask each other, because Kristen is a tither before she even met Walter. Walter's a tither before she met Kristen. And here's one of the things she wants to make sure about him, because they're getting married and now, do you tithe, Walter? And Walter, the same thing with her. What a cool thing is that? Isn't that neat? So then here, consecrate to me all the firstborn. These are the instructions given by the Lord to the children of Israel. Consecrate to me. Now, the firstborn, the first fruits, and the tithe, they all tie in together, okay? Because when you talk about the tithe, it's not just whatever. It's the top. It's the first, all right? So stay with me. Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine. You shall set apart to the Lord all the first of the first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem. He's talking about if it's clean animal, you shall sacrifice. If it's an unclean animal, you shall redeem that animal, all right, with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you will break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Exodus 13:2 and 12 through 13. So the principle of the first fruits and the firstborn and the tithe, they all go together. So then we understand, guess what? Jesus was God's firstborn, right? Now you think about it that way. Jesus was God's firstborn. We see it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's firstborn. Now the reason we say firstborn, and I'll show you this in just a moment, is that we understand that Jesus being God's firstborn, he was clean, he was perfect, and unblemished. Amen? He never sinned. He's the firstborn. But all of us firstborn, we're not clean. We're not perfect. That's why we need the Savior. And that's why, yeah, the principle here of Jesus was the firstborn, Jesus was the sacrifice, we had to be redeemed. Make sense? Because we are unclean, so Jesus was sacrificed to redeem us. Now, the first belongs to God. The first of the first fruits of your ground shall bring into the house, you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Now, there it's clear, okay? So it says the first of the first fruits of your ground. Now, remember back then, the business, the way you talk business with everybody back then, they're farmers, they're ranchers. They dealt with livestock. They dealt with crops. Amen? That's the way it was here in America, too. In America, ranchers, livestock. But then we got into the industrial age. We got into the factory age. And then everybody has all kinds of jobs. But the principle doesn't change. You know, there are secretaries. There are managers. But the principle doesn't change. It's the same. So it's the firstborn, the first fruits, and the tithe. So here it says, the first of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. So it's almost like he's talking to business people. Your increase, what you have that comes in. So that's like telling Walter, okay, Walter, your ground is the sales that you're making. That's your ground. So all the sales that you're making, guess what? The first of it, the first of the commissions, the first of your commissions, you will bring to the house of the Lord. Now, amen? All right, so I'm not trying to trick you here or anything, all right? But then here, so it says, so this is what we pick up from this verse. The last is not acceptable, okay? Now, you know what I mean by that, the last is not acceptable. I mean, sometimes we'll get a paycheck and we want to see, well, can we pay the car? Can we pay the house? Can we pay the groceries? Can we pay all these things? That's why I tell you, tithe and faith goes together. Tithe and faith goes together. So you bring the first to the Lord, and let him take care of the rest. Now, that's a great deal, all right? Now, it designates the place. Where are you to take it? The first of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring where? Into the house of the Lord. Into your very place where you go to church. It's to the house of the Lord, where you grow in the Lord. Now, it designates a place, and it also states for us that the tithe is holy. Now, if I'm telling you that the tithe is holy, and we understand that the tithe is holy, that means don't touch it. Amen? Do you understand that? That we don't touch it. We separate it unto God. All right? The tithe is holy, and it's consecrated. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Now, he was already sharing that, you know. Malachi 3, 8 and 9, and starting there with the passage, that we are to bring the tithe into the storehouse. And then the Lord, he makes a promise. He says, prove me now in this, if I will not, test me now in this, if I will not open up the windows of heaven, if I will not rebuke the devourer for your sake, if I will not pour out into you such great a blessing, you can't even contain it. You can't even contain. How many of you would like to see that happen, you know, just to put it before the Lord? All right, Lord, because remember, we are people of blessing. And if we're blessed that way, which we are, then we are to bless others. How many of y'all like to bless others? You know, buy somebody's meal, buy some toys for some kids, or you like to bless others. So many different examples of that. Here's the final one. And God does not change. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. He doesn't change. Go ahead and look that up with me. And this is at the very last there, the last book there in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, and what does he say? That's enough. For I am the Lord, and I do not change. There's sometimes people that they say, well, we're not under the law anymore, Pastor Dan. That was back then in the Old Testament. We're not under that. So we're under grace now. So it's okay. Well, let me ask you this. Is it okay for you to commit adultery? Is it okay for you to go around, sleep around? Well, we're not under the law anymore. Just because it said back then, thou shalt not commit adultery, that was back then, that was the law, but we're under grace now. So now I can sleep around. I can have sex with different women. I can enjoy the different things that I want to, a little porn, a little video, a little whatever, because we're under grace. It's okay. It's all right. We're under grace. It's not all right. Which, by the way, if you're involved in any of that, repent, turn to God, ask God to forgive you, and get it right. Get it right. See, you don't hear that too much from pulpits anymore. You don't hear that too much. It's okay. It's all right. No. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Well, that was the law back then. It's okay if you lie every once in a while. You know, tax season is coming up. It's okay. It's all right. Yeah. Help me now. And don't say amen so loud, but I know tax season is coming up. And now we got to bring it down. Okay, here we go. Well, it's okay if we don't count this. It's okay if we don't include this. It's okay. It's been under the table. It's been under the table cash. So it's okay. You don't have to include that. And then boy, then everybody gets real quiet. God is always watching. And who do you think you're fooling? Are you fooling them? Are you trying to fool God? We can't fool God. And we're going to have to give account for everything we've done. But it's okay. It's all under grace. We're under grace, Pastor Dan. No, it says God does not change. God does not change. All right? What does it mean to keep God first? Well, we apply it to how we live in five different areas. And here they are. Okay, look. First, this is an acronym that I got a hold of a while back, you know, and I've kept this acronym. I got this from another preacher, kept it. First, F-I-R-S-T. I love it because if you just remember the word first and you remember what each one represents and you remember that you're to keep God first in all these areas, well, the first area is what? And it should be because that's where we live. You need money. Does anybody here, you need money every week? Do you need money every week? Do you need money every month? If all of a sudden you didn't get any money for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, would that be okay? Of course not. You got to have it. You got to spend it. You got to use it. You have to buy things. But he's to be first in our finances. I was sharing with the Wednesday night class, telling him, what if I laid out 10 $1,000 bills right here? 10 $1,000 bills, $10,000, and you've got them right there. And it's all across the table. Which is the first? Is it the one on the left? Is it the one on the right? And you got to realize, well, there's a tithe. That's what you've received. That's what you, and there's 10 of them there. Which is the first? The first one you spend. The first one you spend is a tithe. Now grab that, because somebody can say, boy, I've been waiting for this, and I've needed that $1,000 so I can pay my rent. Whew, I go, and I'll pay the rent. Well, you just paid the rent with your tithe.